once you find your passion, also you feel unsure in the beginning of the journey. You have a lot of self-doubt, but just carry on, relentlessly pursue it. One or the other day you will reach, and you know, people will come back to you saying, yeah, you did a good thing and we got some value out of you. Then you will know you are on the right track, but keep doing it.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Power of Passion. I'm Nivedita, the host for the show. In this show, I would be interviewing the inspiring personalities who follow their passion in order to help you to understand your inner potential and how to live your passion with a purpose and lead a meaningful life. Today, we have with us a very interesting guest, Veena, who's a parenting coach, a healer, author, and a speaker. She connects heart to heart with moms to help them create a beautiful, happy, and peaceful family. She has also conducted many workshops and online classes and has participated in as a guest speaker in programs for parents and teens. And she has helped more than 500 parents so far. And she is also the author of 2 books. So without further ado, let's jump deep into the conversation with Veena and welcome her into our show. Hi, Veena. Welcome to
Hello.
My show.
Hi, Nivedita. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming to my show.
Hello, everyone. I'm really glad to be here with Nivedita and meeting you all through this podcast. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Nivedita, for inviting me.
Thank you, Veena. So tell us about your journey before you became a coach.
Yeah, sure. So about myself, I'm Veena from Bangalore. I'm Veena BK. I'm an ex-bank manager. I was in SBI. I've served for 22 years. So I don't know, wow. Some higher calling must have been there. I don't know the exact reason, but I thought bank is enough. I need to do something else. And after my voluntary retirement from SBI, me being an artist, I started art classes. Classes for children. Then art classes turned into art therapy. Then I started taking workshops for kids. It was mainly about self-confidence, memory, concentration, public speaking. It was a 4-hour workshop. And the more I interacted with kids, somehow the age group between 10 to 15 years were more in that group. And then I understood, you know, the kids' mindset, what happens in their mind. And then I found, yeah, little guidance from the parents, you know, it really leads to a huge positive impact on the kids. So why don't I, you know, coach the parents? That's how it all began, Nivedita.
Very nice, very nice. But there should be some turning point in your life that gave you the decision, like,
yeah,
I have to become a parenting coach. So what was that turning point in your life?
Now, when I look back, as I told you, even on the last day of my bank, I didn't know what I would do further. I was just exploring my second innings, so to say. So, like Steve Jobs said, you can connect the dots only by looking backward. For me, it happened step by step by step. And today, if I'm a parenting coach, all this has led me there. The kids' workshops, then I thought parents need the guidance. And I saw myself in an important role. Nowadays, my co-sister is a teacher. Then she told me, Veena, parents assume teachers are teaching everything to the kids. And teachers, how many kids can they manage in school? So these kids don't know whom to approach when they have some confusion, some query, something going on in their minds. Whom will they talk to? So my role, I felt, to connect all these three, it's very important. So I was doing what I was doing. But because you asked about the turning point, it all goes back to my journey. I mean, my life as a parent, as a mom. My son had this learning difficulty, which is called as dyslexia. It's a problem of reading and writing. And whatever parenting challenge you name it, you know, kids' behavior issues, discipline, studies related, all are 10x when this kid has this difficulty. All the problems are magnified. And I had to deal with it as a single mom because husband was in a different town and it was his teenage years. The adolescent years are so difficult. All parents know that. So managing him with my job stress, like I'm talking to you now, I was talking to my coach. Then I told him I've been taking workshops, all this I mentioned, what I told previously. Then he asked me, why you are doing what you are doing? You know, what I was doing was clear at that time, but why was not clear. Then he repeatedly asked me, why I suddenly started crying with him. Like, I said, see, I was a single mom handling all these challenges. There was no one to support me. I was seeking a person like who I am now. I wanted someone in my life. Then that's how I found my why. Like you asked about the turning point. That's a very appropriate point what you mentioned, Nivedita. Mm-hmm. That was the turning point. Yes, I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. So that was a huge revelation for myself, because somewhere all the pains, all the struggles I had suppressed in my mind. Okay. I didn't want to deal with them. My son is a postgraduate now. I feel it's a huge achievement for me. Yeah, obviously, with all the difficulty. You understand, right?
Yeah.
So that was the turning point.
Even for a dyslexic kid, you have raised him to that level. That's an awesome thing that you've done. You should be so proud of yourself, actually.
So that moment, I told my coach, if not me, who? If not now, when? You know, this is the right moment for me to step in and be a support to those moms who are struggling. That's how I came into this parenting.
Very nice. This is your purpose of life. You came to know, right? And now you are doing it. Yeah. So how do you feel it?
See, each mother, it may be a phone call, like you mentioned, I'm taking online classes or some free events also. One person, you know, I make a small difference. I feel very humble now. First and foremost, I feel very, very humble that, yes, someone is ready to, I may give so much, but someone is ready to receive my guidance and implement and find some peace because of that. No, that makes me very humble. They share their innermost struggles, which they can't even tell anyone. They come and tell me. Correct. I feel very privileged, very humbled. And when they come back to me, you know, when they come back to me saying thank you, even today, every now and then I receive thank you messages. I feel, Arey, what I have done, a very small help or guidance I've given, but what it gives them, no, that reduces my pain. Actually, in that way also, I am selfish, you may say. My old, whatever the regrets, my guilts I do have, like as a parent, always a mom feels I could do better. I'm not the best mom, she feels. Mm-hmm. But when this mom is helped by me, I feel I'm satisfying myself and reducing my own inner pain.
Yes. It's like you're healing yourself also, no? When you heal others' pains, you also feel like you're also getting healed. That is there.
Exactly. Yeah, true.
Okay, so what were the challenges you faced, Veena, when you were raising your child because he was dyslexic?
Like, see, this problem awareness is very less in India. At that time, now my son is grown up, as I told you. At that time, it was still less. So again, we brand the kid as he or she is not putting enough effort, and not, you know, we think the child is not studying enough. We tend to make him study more of us. So it so happens that the way the kid learns, we have to teach. It is not the problem with the child. There are many famous personalities who were dyslexic. Can you believe it? In our own India, we have Abhishek Bachchan. Then international, famous people like Albert Einstein had this dyslexia issue. Then Walt Disney, Richard Branson. Uh-huh. So they were exceptionally intelligent, actually speaking.
Okay.
So the IQ of these kids is either normal or above normal. They are geniuses. They are creative people. Only about dyslexia awareness, it is my passion also to spread awareness about dyslexia, because without knowing root cause, parents tend to blame the kids and teachers also put pressure on the kid. Instead of the way they learn, we have to teach them. That is all there is. But it so happens, this because you asked about my personal issue, what happens is the child's self-esteem affected.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years we left him in a residential school, my son, thinking maybe he will study there. So then when we brought him back the teen years, and you know, every other day I have to visit the school, teachers do not understand this problem. And my own job stress. Then as I told you, I was managing everything all alone as a single mother. For 4 years I was alone, like in a different town. So it was a very difficult period. But finally, because of the resilience, my own, I taught myself dyslexia as to make workbook for my kid. You know, myself, write something graphically and explain to him. And that's how I helped him, brought him out of all that. Now is awesome. That's all I can say.
On the same lines, I want to ask you, like, how do you differentiate between a normal kid and a dyslexic kid? Because you're saying even their IQ levels are very high, right?
So it actually, everything the parent or the teacher has to understand what is happening with the kid. There are some symptoms. This kid writes the words in a mirror format. Like instead of writing B, the kid writes B. The C is written reverse. And it is said that when the kid sees the blackboard, the letters dance in front of his or her eyes. So they can't copy even from the blackboard or the book. So from the symptoms, you will come to know that they are mirroring the letters, the alphabets, and also numbers. And some kids have a problem with maths, and they cannot read even simple spellings. Like, for example, M-A-T, mat, we get. But if you say P-A-T, they cannot say it is pat. Simple things. Okay. So this parents come to know, how come he knows mat, then he should say cat, pat also. But the kid is not able to say. So with the symptoms, the parents will come to know. Generally, it is detected between the age of 6 to 8, I think so. Because till 5, 6, they are small kids. They won't be writing much. And it should not be suspected also at such a small age. Kids may be later to pick up. But by the age of 6 or 7, if you start having these problems, please get it assessed. There are various educational institutions like they do the assessment. So you can get the assessment, and then parents, instead of assessing the problem, they think the kid is not putting effort. That is the very root cause, heart of the problem. Because once it is assessed, you can take remedial measures.
Correct.
And the kid will be as normal as anyone.
First of all, like you said, the awareness is important. First, we should know if the kid is normal or dyslexic. We may not even know, right, if the kid is dyslexic in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think could be the best support that can be given to a dyslexic child?
Yeah. So both the parents and the teachers, the school has to help, because this is related to academics mainly. The way the school teaches, the child is not able to learn in the normal method. So the school has to give a lot of support. There are some exemptions, of course, when the kid reaches high school. So for younger kids, the teacher, you know, he or she should encourage a lot. And parents also, small achievements also, they should encourage in writing, reading. And there's a specific method of learning. Specific method of learning is there. They can be given the tutoring. And what specifically I deal with, because there are already many tutors, I'm not going into that. You can take the tutor's help. It's called individual education plan, and school and the parents can have a separate plan for the kid. But what happens in the process, the child starts doubting their own capacity or ability. They think something is wrong with me. And then they feel, you know, left out from the mainstream because they cannot catch up. So the child starts feeling there's some defect in me, and their self-worth is affected, their self-esteem is affected, and they are not able to mingle with the peers.
Okay.
They have an inferiority complex. So all these things have to be addressed. So my role as a parenting coach, what I do is, first of all, as we discuss the acceptance part, after awareness and assessment comes the acceptance. Normally all moms ask, even I ask, why me, why my kid? You know, everything seems okay. How come all these questions come? So acceptance is the main thing. Accept it. Be okay with it. Your child is not having any, you know, big defect or something. And to share with you, I had not told any of, this is a stigma in our society. I hadn't told anyone. There was no need also. Mm-hmm. But somewhere I feel, be okay with it, you know. Tell the child also. Should I tell the child? Parents ask me, yes, please tell the child that it is okay. You'll be thought in a different way. So with the acceptance also, I give the reassurance to the mother and to the child. You mentioned healing, that is most required for everyone, you know, for all this mental worry, the stress. This mom has to struggle now. Ultimately, the input, whatever has to be given, is by the mom. So she has to take extra care. Getting homework done for a 7-year-old kid, you know how much time it takes for a normal parent. For this parent, it takes double, more than 3 times time, but no one has the time. They are with their own stress. So how to manage with all this, I will guide the mom and the kids also. It can be done with, you know, a lot of patience is required. What happens in the child's mind, you watch that Tare Zameen Par, it's a beautiful movie. So that is only my story, I feel so, whenever I see that movie.
Nice. Okay. So as a parenting coach, let's come to normal children now. So what is your suggestion to parents that they must follow in order to make the child listen to them without back talking? You know, back talking is very disrespectful. Yeah. And I see most of the kids do that. You know, so when we raise kids with so much of love and affection, and when they, at an age, when they back talk, it's very disrespectful.
Correct.
What suggestion would you like to give to parents?
This is the main issue, Nivedita. From when I've been dealing with the parents, they tell me, why don't kids listen to us? How to make them listen? And they are not respecting. So what to do about this attitude? So this is the main issue. And to tell you, the, after this pandemic, all this has increased. You know, the behavior of the kids, it's uncontrollable because... Because the problems have increased because kids are not playing as much as they used to earlier. Like kids used to be at school, parents at office, and the interactions would be somewhat less. Now moms tell me they are under pressure. This online class is happening, still I have to be around, you know. I have to facilitate the class as such.
Yeah.
So kids are under pressure also.
Yeah, when kids are at home, maybe kids, parents can spend more time with the kids, but it's not like that. People are actually not feeling happy when they're at home always.
Correct.
They say like that.
Correct. All this has increased the problem. Because they, as I said, they are interacting more and they are seeing the kids more, and then kids are also confused, and anybody is feeling a bit held up at home, and we don't like it. It's not our choice that we are facing this situation, but kids are also facing it. Their frustration has gone up because they can't play out, and their whole routine has changed. They used to go to school. So because of that, yes, the behavior problem has increased, the screen time, playing with gadgets, all this has increased. So with all that, we need to understand as parents, as adults. So some consideration has to be there about this. But all said and done, yeah, why are they not listening? So they question everything. These kids know, I tell parents, add 5 years to their age. 12-year, treat like a 17-year-old. Because we think this is one more thing I want to tell. Parents ask me, we were not like that in our childhood. But did we have mobile phones? Did we have mobile phone? Did we have so much exposure to media? We were a bit protected and in our own small circle. So now the whole external environment has changed. So what kids need is logic and reasoning for everything they question us. So main thing is, again, comes back to patience. Patience, patience, and more patience to answer them, convince them, because they question whatever you say. Okay, give them that, their answers. And then don't have too many expectations. I had a couple talking to me, parents. Husband had some 15 expectation, wife had some 20 expectation from one single child.
Oh my God.
That means always you will not, the child will not meet your expectation most of the time because there are too many expectations. So what I advise is have only three main expectations. The child should study well, then he or she should be disciplined, and thirdly, like the attitude and the manners, what we are discussing. So anything, it's left to you. This is just my suggestion. So broad expectation you have, and make the child known of this expectation. When you are talking to the child in a relaxed manner, not at that time that I expect you to do this, make it clear beforehand, have clarity with the child that this is what I expect of you, and when will you do it, how will you do it, all that can be discussed and decided, rather than, you know, morning you may say wake up at 6 a.m., kid may say 8 a.m., then come to 7 a.m., mutually agreed, whatever the plan of action, so that the child will feel, I am included in my plan of, you know, whatever actionable plan, the child's opinion is taken into account. So like, you can't treat a 12-year-old as 12-year-old, treat them like a 17-year-old, add 5 years, like give them the importance. Then give them choices. One more important tip, it will help all parents immediately, it will help. Which is, we normally catch them wrong. We normally catch them wrong doing any bad behavior or not listening to us. When I say he is not doing this, she is not studying, she is watching too much TV. Because we are parents, we want our kids to be the best. Nothing wrong with that. But why don't you catch them right? They do, they may do 10 things wrong, at least 2 things they'll do right. So catch them right and appreciate. So notice that and appreciate a lot. And that will really, you know, encourage the kid to follow the same behavior next time also. Catch them right is the code word. many good things will be there in your child. You observe that and appreciate, hugely, highly appreciate. It may be a small thing, but when you appreciate that behavior is reinstated and the kid will repeat the same behavior.
Very nice. So we should sit with the child and talk to her or him about the expectations, give them the clarity so that the child also feels that importance is given to them. Right. And as you said, nowadays kids are behaving that they are over matured. So 12-year kid should actually be treated like a 17-year.
Yeah.
And then we should give them the right choices. And then we should catch them right. What you said.
Catch them right.
Yeah. And we should appreciate them, because anybody likes that appreciation. And that gives a feeling of happiness within ourselves.
Right.
So we should not always be pointing on the wrong things. Rather than that, focus on the good things that they're doing. Very nicely said. Okay, so you were talking about the discipline as one of the expectations, right? While you were saying like we want our kids to be disciplined. So on that same lines, so how do you think we can bring in the element of discipline to the kids at a very early age? Because I feel that when the foundation is strong, no matter the external circumstances, even when they try to influence you, if you are raised up well at the very young age itself, when you're inculcated with all the good things, the kid will have that values in their life forever, is my thought. Right. Is that right?
Very true. In fact, Harvard study is there. There's a study called Harvard Grand Study where they gave chores to children around the house. Like children, we normally ask them to help now. Like it may be folding the clothes or watering the plants or helping out in the kitchen. Some chores were given to these kids, 5-6 year old. And later it was observed that when they grew up, the children were successful in their life because they were given responsibilities from an young age. So whenever they went out to the adult world in their career or business, they were the ones who used to take upon the task, difficult task, and they did them voluntarily. So that was a plus point for the kids. So everything starts at a young age. And this is one of the ways you can inculcate discipline. Give them responsibility. About appreciation, we have already spoken. Every time they do a job nicely, give them back the encouragement, appreciation. So give them tasks at home. Even 5 to 8 years also is okay. Up to 5, they are playful. They may not concentrate. Even 5-year-old child, get a glass of water, they'll get for you. So they'll do that for you. So see how you can use them. I mean, tell them, give them tasks around the house. That will make them feel important. It is all about giving importance. Even a 2-year-old child needs, even that small child cries if the mother doesn't come on time and lift the child. You know, that child knows I am somebody. That sense of self is there. Encourage that sense of self in the child. Then give them responsibility, treat them, again, add 5 years to any age, treat them like they are big enough to take the responsibility. That is one thing. And appreciation will follow any good job they do. So this is how you, discipline is not, I have told you to do. Take them in a nice way and give them jobs to do, correct them in the process and make them improve in whatever task you have given and appreciate them. This is one. And kids are always observing you. Nivedita, because you mentioned early childhood, they are always observing you, young kids.
Yes.
At least elder kids will start questioning, but this kid is just observing silently. And then listen to them, talk to them, listen to them, give them a lot of importance. And one more way you can help them increase their self-worth is in the things concerning them. You can take their opinion, what color they like, they should buy, give them some independence, make them feel good from a young age. When you do this from your side, what discipline you mentioned, Nivedita, it may be about keeping their toys back, all that. When you request, they will automatically do. You have a bonding with the child. This child will feel so nice to be with parents. These parents are giving me a lot of importance. Correct. So whatever you tell them, they will do for you. So that is how discipline can be started in the child. There is one more technique. It works for all ages, I'll tell you. Sometimes we have to point out their mistakes, right? This kid, he or she, for example, TV watching, they have crossed the limits. the child has agreed for 1 hour, then this child will cross the limit for more than an hour. Then you have to tell them that, no, you're not doing it right. You agreed for an hour. So when you have to point out that later, what you can do is, it's called the sandwich technique. It's not my technique, what I have come across and what I use also. It works with adults also. Whenever you have to point out mistakes, whenever you have to criticize, give a compliment or a positive factor first. Tell them something nice. Then point out this mistake or the issue which you want to tell the child or anyone. And then follow it by another positive thing. So this person will take it in a nice way and respond positively. And whatever result you want, you will get it if you use this technique. You know, straight away, if I come and say something wrong, or this is wrong, this is not okay, every person will have a resistance. Any person, even adult, for that matter, you'll resist immediately. You will think that person is rejecting me. It's about your behavior. But the child or the person will think he or she is pointing out at me. Instead, you say, oh, I appreciate. For example, you can say, beta, I appreciate. Yesterday, you switched off TV on time. That is one appreciation. Mm-hmm. Secondly, see, today also you could have stopped at 1 hour because you had other thing to do. And then you tell him, really, you got good marks. You know, just yesterday you got very good marks. I'm very happy. I want you to continue the same trend in your studies. Simple. It will end with the child feeling good. But at the same time, you have told him you have overcrossed your limits of 1 hour of TV. This is a practical example I gave you. You can think over how you can implement this.
Very nice. The way you said, no, I think obviously the kids, when they listen to that, no, very soothing tone in a way that you have to say, I think they will immediately respond. Yeah. They will have that in mind and do. And from whatever you said, no, that is for imparting the discipline, we should give the sense of responsibility to them at a very early age so that that is there in their minds. And we should listen to them. It's like we should treat them as an individual and give them due respect is what I feel.
Correct. No, I have many parents tell me, Nivedita, but parents, what they tell me, we were not like that as a kid. You know, we used to listen whatever our parents said. These kids are, you know, super whiz kids.
Yes.
It's different. So don't compare.
That's true. That's true. Because the way we were raised, we were not like that. We never asked for so much of importance given to us.
Correct.
Whatever our parents tell, we used to listen.
Parenting style has to change.
I absolutely agree with that. And it's very nice that you told us about the sandwich technique also. Okay. So, like, now the kids are very hyperactive and they have a lot of IQ, right? So, how do you think that actually can be utilized in a productive way? What are the different ways we can we can use that, their IQ and their hyperactive?
They are very active, very intelligent. Kids are smart. So, parents have to be smarter. That's what I say. Because of this pandemic, parents' involvement is double or three times also. All the time they are spending with kids, and how to keep them active. This is a good question, Nivedita. So there are a lot of toys, like it need not be always screen time. So kids are automatically diverted to gadgets and TV. That's what we are observing, and I'm also getting feedback from the parents. So what we can do, slightly divert them to educational toys, and there are so many educational books also. You can go for one. There's one I remember right now, Flinto Box. Okay, it's called Flinto Box. It's full of activity for kids, and periodically, I'm not associate with them, just like that I'm mentioning because I remembered now. There are various other companies also. This Flinto Box, what they do, they send monthly ones, I think so, some materials with which the kid can work. There are various puzzles, activities. So you can keep the kid engaged. You can give an alternative. If you say, don't watch TV, okay, what instead of that also you need to tell. Parents need to suggest what kids can do apart from that. So this can be one of the ways to engage them. Then go back to our traditional games. In fact, we also did in our house. My niece is also grown up. She's in college. Yes. But we as a family, we started a lot of indoor games which we played in our childhood, you know. Engage the kids and play some indoor games. Mm-hmm. Okay, for working people, every day may not be possible. Mm-hmm. At least weekend as a family activity, do some indoor games activity. Mm-hmm. And then at their young age, you have to explore what their interest is, what their aptitude is. So that also can be encouraged by the parents more and more. Normally, we see generally there are exceptions, but always studies are given a lot of importance, and we are not thinking more about other interests Or if at all parents want the kid to do yes. something else, it is because I did not do in my childhood. Let me take my kid to sports or dance class, whatever. The parents' dreams, kids are made to join those kinds of classes to learn those skills. Instead, ask the kid or assess the kid. Some kid may be good in painting, other may be good in singing. So just encourage. One of my friend's kids, you know what he does? I call all these kids are super whiz kids. Yeah. He's just 8 or 9 years old. Mm-hmm. He sees YouTube, the origami, you know, the paper folding and art, paper art, Japanese paper art, paper art origami. He watches videos yes. and he makes his own.
Yeah.
While making, he thought, why don't I make my own YouTube channel? Oh, okay. This 9-year-old kid has his YouTube channel for origami.
Wow. Oh my God.
See, they have the potential, only you have to encourage. Then again, one parent told me, no, we don't want to send them on YouTube. But that is the present now. It is the trend. You know, even right. small kids, even 5-year-old kid yes. I have seen, you know, he'll explain his toys. He will buy a new toy, he will open the toy and explain. And he has a lot of followers. This is the in thing. I mean, people need the information from a person. There is so much knowledge, information available. But when you see a face, you know, live person talking about their experience, they love it. So this kid has the talent. He came up yes. with his own YouTube channel. So I encourage them whatever they want to do. Uh-huh. That is the future. Future, who knows where this kid will reach. Then there are other normal things which we all know, like books. Again, if parents have a habit, kids will learn. Let the books lie around the house according to their Correct. Age group. Then chess is a very good game for developing intelligence. Then one teenager, you know, he was playing lot of PUBG. Then I was talking to him like it was a gathering of teenagers. We were talking about this addiction to these video games. Then one of the kids said, I used to play, auntie, but now I have discontinued. Then I asked him, how did you stop? He said, my parents scolded me, I stopped. Oh, you are a good kid. Like he said, I just stopped when they told me, I understood. Okay, but what do you do instead of that alternative? Then he said, I play Sudoku. It comes every day in paper, it's there, or we get Sudoku books also. So now yes. I love Sudoku. Sudoku is a mind yes. game, brain booster. So good. He found an alternative. So don't play PUBG. Okay. Instead of that, what? We have to tell them. Instead of that, go out and play in the sun. Go out and play with your friends. Or one more example I'll tell you, Nivedita. This is a very good question. How to keep the kids engaged. Now I'm remembering whenever parents spoke to me. Like this parent told me, my 6-year-old kid watches a lot of TV. You know, in the family, the TV is always on. The kid also sits with the family and watches TV. I don't want her to watch TV. That to all this, you know, soaps. And it's meant for elderly people. What family watches, she is watching. Not even kids show or cartoon. So this was the main concern of the parent. Okay, suddenly from tomorrow, you can't say don't watch TV. Mm-hmm. This kid will not listen. So I told her, told the parent, see, take her away from the TV. Show her YouTube videos. In YouTube, there are a lot of educational, inspirational, age-wise, you know, you can show to the kid. Gradually, from TV, you take her to YouTube. From YouTube, you reduce the timing.
Yes.
Then you interact with her. You sit with her every day. Are you spending time with her? This mom said, no, I'm busy. At least make it a point to spend half an hour with her. You watch YouTube with her. Sit with her and watch YouTube. This child should get a different perspective. Yeah. Oh, entertainment can be in a different way. First, wean her away from the regular entertainment. Moms have to be very creative. I really sympathize with the moms. You have to be very resourceful and creative. Yeah. So that's why I am there. I mean, anybody like me, you come, help is available. So moms tell me I'm tired, I'm exhausted, you know. So to seek help, we are there to support. Please seek help.
Yes, very nice. Yeah, like you said, if the kid is smart, the mom has to be smarter, right? Everything should be more, four times more. So it was nice that you set up the Flinto box and then we should engage them with giving a lot of books, playing chess, sit with the kid and spend time because kids follows what we do. And it will also feel the sense of importance that my mom is spending time with me. And it wouldn't be wise if I don't ask you this question about kids. When I think of kids, the first thing that comes to my mind is about the behavior, their aggressive behavior. I've seen kids crying, whining, tantrums, all this, right? How do you actually handle angry and aggressive child?
Where do the kids learn anger from? From people around. watching on TV, media, all that. So it is, it's all a learned behavior. Like they learn to walk, they learn this also. So like I said, they're observing, so be careful. So I was talking to a psychiatrist, by the way. I've interviewed some experts also to help my parents. So this psychiatrist, he said, whenever any negotiation happens between kids and parents, discussion happens, this is how kids learn how to behave in their adult world. They are learning from childhood. This 2 to 5 year old, yeah, tantrums are there, and if mom or dad, you know, they say no, okay, then kids will eventually listen. You don't buy them everything they ask. Otherwise, they start tantrums and it will increase again and again. It will increase more and more. Oh, if I cry, mom will get me, dad will get me things or toys. So don't encourage that. For below 5 to 6 years, you can just be very strict with them and make it clear to them that only once in a while I'll buy, not everything and every time you ask. Other than that, as I was talking about this interaction with the psychiatrist doctor, so mainly from the parenting angle, I invited the psychiatrist and we were discussing. It was it's on YouTube also now. Mm-hmm. So the discussion, what we think, like just now we were talking, like in our childhood, we used to just listen because mommy or daddy told we have to just shut our mouth and just follow their instructions. That is not the case now. So this child, by talking and by questioning the parents, he or she is learning how to deal with any conflicts in their adult life. Tomorrow it may be their boss, friend whom with they are talking. Then if you always suppress this child, you are not even supposed to question me. That submissive behavior will continue to their adulthood. So this is a learning part of the child when they are arguing with the parent. But one advice the psychiatrist gave is let there be healthy discussion at home. Let the child express. So don't take it to that level of crying, whining and aggression, anger. And if it is a family culture or the house rules that no one takes it to the level of argument, it will remain in the level of discussion. Anybody, it is not even between the child and parent, even the spouse themselves talking to each other, we should not go to the argument level. Or maybe mother-in-law, daughter-in-law problems are there. We know that. Again, that is another angle to this parenting. So about the child, both the parties will be arguing. Mother-in-law wants to feed sweets or junk or something. Mom says healthy eating, and there comes a clash of ideas. So let it be in the discussion level. Don't take it to argument. And the child is not around, you sort your differences. You know, at a level you stop then and there. And still something to be discussed, you discuss in private. So child should not be exposed to argument as far as possible. And then child should know I am allowed to express my opinion. I need not go to the level of anger or aggression. Let the child be heard out, his side of the story, her friend perspective. So somewhere we have to reach mid-ground. So that's how we need to communicate to the child. We are open to your listening to your opinions. Please share with us. No need to be angry. Either I win or you win or both win, but no need to be angry. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, but everything comes to we spending time with the kid, right? But that itself is the biggest challenge, I think. Nowadays, parents don't have the time to sit and talk with the kids. And both husband and wife are working. And they spend very less time with the kid. Now, with the lockdown, people are spending time. Okay. But before the lockdown, I'm saying like, people actually do not have much, there's a scarcity of time, right? They are busy in their household works and their office tasks that they have to come home and do. And so kids generally require attention, but we don't give that much attention. Like you said, they want us to listen to them, but actually we don't sit and talk. So I feel that there is some kind of emotional bonding is not there. Emotional bonding between the parent and the child is somewhere missing because the parent don't have time to talk to the kids.
Yeah.
Parents need to spend more time, right? And how the bonding can be increased.
Correct.
Even the teenagers, right? When the kid grows up at the teenage, parents need to be like friends to the teenagers. Only then they will open up. Otherwise, they will go on their own track. Right. Parents will not know what they're doing. So how do you think that emotional bonding should be developed before they go into teens?
So generally, this is my theory, like up to 8 years, children are dependent on the parents. Parents also need to give a lot of care, which they are doing. So somewhere from 8, the child starts feeling, you know, I am an individual, and they start being assertive and doing their own thing. And they do the exact opposite of what parents tell them. They start you know, developing as an individual. So that right. is the time when you have to be sensitive. At the same time, if you just see the family situation, this is the crucial time when parents are at a particular stage of their career where they need to contribute more in their jobs. And if it's a joint family, even in a nuclear family, there are a lot of responsibilities. Generally, they would have invested in a home, you know, financial commitments, everything comes together. So neither you can quit the job and stay with the child 24 hours, nor you can, you have to make a balance. That is why time management is very important. Like try to have dinner time together. And when it comes to gadgets also, I generally tell parents, you know, keep the dinner time away from gadgets. No watching TV, nobody is on mobile. So this becomes a family rule. So when you say set the expectation for the kids, you can include family time also, that we can all have dinner at the same time and as a family chatting and talking to each other. These are the things kids remember when they grow up. It need not be something special that you took them to Disneyland that they'll remember. The family moments and togetherness is what they'll remember. The emotional bonding, it doesn't happen overnight. It develops over a period. Don't worry if you feel there is some disconnect as of now. Moms are guilty. Moms have regret. They come to me. I'm not a good mom. I'm a bad mom. I can't hear it. Yes. You have done so much for the kid. You're still doing. Yes, first, I tell them you're an awesome mom. Whatever you're doing.
Correct. I feel that. They should feel it wholeheartedly within themselves.
So from there, you see how you can improve. Like I said, this dinner time is one of the suggestions. And then, okay, weekday you're not able to spend weekend, you can do some activity with the kid, like we were talking about indoor games and all that. And you can plan. And I told you, the chores children can help. So clashing ideas are there. Na? You should discuss at this time when you're involved in something else. Sit with the kid and do some art. Both of you do some art. I have an art therapy course also for moms and kids. So they do art, and it is a very non-defensive kind of a atmosphere then. Both are like friends. At that time, you can say, beta, why don't you do this? Why don't you study some more or play outside instead of watching TV? Very in a subtle manner, you introduce that subject and talk to them. So they'll share whatever they are feeling. No, mama, I'm bored. I want, or I love this show, I want to watch. So like that, the conversation can happen. So over some art, or involve them in the housework. Please, thank you, always use with the kids. Even 5-year-old, you have to talk with, please. Everything should be a request.
Okay. So it was nice that you spoke about the dinner time, where we need to spend time with the kids, and also the games. If not, even the art therapy, where you and your kid can sit together and do art. Yes, so you're the author of the two books, The Incredible Mom and The Inward Journey. Okay, so could you please tell us about the two books?
Yeah, I never thought I would be an author. So my coach, Arfin Khan, I'm a certified life coach by Arfin Khan. And he's the one who inspired and motivated. And in fact, he pushed me to write my book. Then what should I write about when I was thinking? No better story than my life story.
Okay.
Because as I mentioned about my kids' struggle with dyslexia and me as a mom, how I guided him. It was a lot of painful journey. In fact, while writing this book, many times I've cried in between, stopped writing and started crying. Because somewhere all the pains were suppressed.
Right.
Like I told you, I cannot give back that 2 years which I took from my child because he was in a residential school because of this academic issues. So anyway, what my coaches told me, see, unless you tell your story, it is like reassuring the other mom. See, now when I say my son is a postgraduate, that is the future they'll be looking forward to. In fact, the tagline of this book is The Incredible Mom Beyond Dyslexia Leap to a Bright Future. For any other mom, the future has a different sense. But for this mom, you know, she'll be so worried. What will happen to my child? Where will he fit in this regular world when he grows up? So this has a lot of meaning for that mom. So my whole book is addressed to that mom. I told my story. And like you questioned, you asked me about how to become aware, how to identify, all that in detail I have told in that book. And then there is a lot of advice and guidance for the mom, my path, my journey, like how I went through, how I dealt with the issues, with that, what can the mom do now who is having a child, a teen or a preteen, so from when the dyslexia is detected till the child settles down in his academic. So step by step, some guidance for the child, like, you know, the whole approach of the mom has a huge influence on the child, because mom, the mother has to tell the child, it's okay, you're fine, you're good, you're great. This mom has to tell the child. Wow. So that book helps the mom in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to my second book, I'm a healer. I'm into a lot of spiritual practices and therapies. So I've been doing meditation since more than 20 years now. And this is one of the factors which helped me as a mother with all my challenges to deal with my problems. You know, I went inward seeking solutions. So that is how I'm hooked to meditation. I'm addicted to meditation, you can say.
Mm-hmm.
It has helped me to develop this resilience, this inner strength, what we were talking about, Nivedita. So how to develop? There has to be some means to develop your own strength, and mom has to have patience. So all this, I think I learned from my meditation practices. So again, I have to thank my parenting community for this book. They are responsible. Like, I called my parents. I have a WhatsApp community. I called them, let's begin a meditation routine.
Wow.
Morning 6 to 6:30 a.m. Let us do the meditation, live guided meditation. I'll guide you and we all can do meditation. So I was practicing for myself. I have never done this guided meditation. Then parents came in. Then I started, I got a lot of testimonials. They all loved it, because it is not just you sit and I'll guide you and you do meditation. We were searching for solutions for the issues. Like, I may say you should have patience, but how? That there's a specific meditation guidance for developing patience.
Wow.
Then there is one meditation for healing difficult relationships.
Uh-huh.
There's another meditation for anger management.
Wow.
In fact, for removing financial blocks, I combine all my healing therapy plus meditation for removing financial blocks. That is one of the topics. So I have 30 such meditations.
Wow.
So all the recordings I compiled, and I mentioned I'm an artist. I included my paintings. And it's a unique book. It's an e-book where you get the audio recording of the guided meditations.
Uh-huh.
Along, you can enjoy watching my paintings and whatever your present day issues, challenges.
Wow. I think it's going to really be helpful to all the listeners if they want the solutions for that. As you've mentioned, that everything is listed in that book. The first book, The Incredible Mom. And the second one being The Inward Journey, where you've given the guided meditations.
For every issue you are facing, it may be your stress, anger, it may be even physical pain.
Awesome.
I have a certain guided meditation for that also. Health, wealth, happiness, relationship, emotions, everything. You know, we are human. Yeah, we do have ups and downs. So this is the ready-made, you know, something to go into and find your inner peace. And for my second book, I thank my mentor, my spiritual mentor, Dr. M.V. Priyank. I was doing meditation, but he is the one who gave me the confidence, you know, to reach out to people. And I have taken some of his techniques also. So I am eternally thankful to my spiritual mentor.
Very nice. Okay. So tell us about your upcoming program. So where can we find you in your upcoming seminars?
I'm planning shortly a webinar will happen. It's a free 60-minute event. For moms especially, it is called No More Yelling. It is about anger management in yourself. Mm-hmm. And moms tell me, like we were talking how to make kids listen. Only when we shout or yell, kids listen. But they don't like. Moms also do not like their own behavior. They feel bad after that. So why can't they listen when I tell them in a nice way? So there are some techniques for that, how you can communicate to the child better without yelling. Because yelling affects your health. And child also will resent it in the long run. That will also not work. The yelling will not work. So this has come up as a major thing, like with my interactions with the parents. So I'm having a special webinar shortly. So do connect with me. Email me at connect@veenabk.com. Or you can WhatsApp me at, I'll tell the number, 966-328-4400. It's a free event. Please join and please take the benefit. Where I'll be, mainly it will be about the anger management, other parenting challenges also I would be discussing there. So do connect with me. It's most needed for moms. That's how I'll try to help the moms. And through moms, I feel like I mentioned in the outset of this interview, it's not just touching the moms. Through the mom, the whole family is transformed. That is what my vision, you know, happy, beautiful, peaceful families I want moms to create. And I'll just guide them. And we are talking about this child, you know, small child. It is a known fact that if the ship changes 1 degree direction, it reaches a totally different destination. And we are talking about this small child here whose whole future is ahead. So if the, through the mom's guidance, the child changes the route a bit, a bit, imagine where the child will reach. So this is my whole vision for the whole family. Not just I'm talking to mom because I connect automatically to moms because I am a mom and I resonate with the moms better. But through the mom, I want to, you know, I want the mom to create beautiful family.
Very nice. Yes, the mom is a pillar, I would say, pillar in a family. Very nice effort and very nice initiative, Veena. Okay, so what advice would you like to give to people who want to follow their passion? Yeah. And but they're not able to find out what is their passion. So what will be your advice?
What I've seen is I've met, because me being a coach, I'm in a coaching community also. They tell me, Veena, you're lucky you found your passion, but we still don't know what we want to do. Okay, they have so many interests, so many passions that they are not able to choose one among them. Is this for me? They are not sure. So clarity is the first thing what they need. So it's a process. It's a discovery process, Nivedita. Like, see, you are so passionate about your podcast. We met just a few days ago and I could sense the passion in your voice. When you said through my podcast, you know, I want to spread word, ignite people's passion, and I connect with passionate people. And this is my way of giving back to the world. You know, that is your passion. So it feels nice when you reach there. But the journey, as you may be knowing, it's a process and it's a process of discovery. So whatever your hobbies, passions, what you most love to do, you have to try it out. Unless you try, you won't know. Like, let me share with the example of a friend of mine. She actually, she came as a client, the mom. Then now she's my close friend. She's passionate about cooking. So cooking is her forte. So now I'm encouraging her. When moms come to me, I see them as moms. Then I want to develop them to, you know, become a great personality, you know. Become real. They should make use of their potential. When I touch someone's lives, they come in contact with me, I don't leave them. Like, I want to explore their fullest potential. So I'm encouraging her to be a cook, and she knew it was her passion, and she's doing a lot many things. One more friend of mine, she's a healer. Like, just to clarify to people, they'll come to know with this example. She's a healer, she's a singer, she sings beautifully, then she is an artist. Among these three, of late, she started doing more and more art. She does mandala art. And now she's getting students. Now everything is online. People want to learn from her. So finally, she has settled down for her mandala. So you may be having 10 things to give, but you will come to know the trend that people are receiving this and I am feeling fulfilled. At the end of the day, it's not about money. It's not the time you spend. You really enjoy doing this. Right. Now, Nivedita, I'll tell you, after this podcast, you do two more podcasts, even though you won't have energy, you will suddenly find energy. I know that, because it's your bad.
Exactly.
So no one need to tell you. No one need to tell you. The moment you start doing it, you will feel new energy. So that is your passion. So it's a process. So don't worry if you can't find it immediately. It will happen. And I would like to also say, you once you find your passion also, you feel unsure in the beginning of the journey. You have a lot of self-doubt, but just carry on, relentlessly pursue it. One or the other day you will reach, and you know, people will come back to you saying you did a good thing and we got some value out of you. Then you will know you are on the right track. But keep doing it unless you are sure. Initially, even after you find passion, there is some confusion. And have a mentor, get a good mentor who will encourage you, who will resolve all your queries and doubts, and that is very much required.
Yeah, very nicely said. It is always important in our life, right? For guidance, it's always necessary.
Guidance.
And your advice on the passion was superb. So we have come to the end of our interview. Yes, so what is your message to the listeners, Veena?
Parenting is challenging. Now it is very much modern day. Challenges are different and parents don't know how to deal, and added with all this, the external situation is not very good that is there. So what I say is seek help and seek support. I mentioned earlier also, maybe earlier there were joint families used to ask elders, or children also used to have a protocol in the house because elders are there, used to obey naturally. Now that is not there. In fact, I was talking to a relationship expert, my friend. She was also mentioning, now if you go and tell your neighbors or friends, you may be judged, or they may give a solution according to their perspective, what they have limited experience. And these children also, they may seek solution from their peers who are not knowing anything. Right. So better to approach an expert who has seen parents. I'm a parenting coach. I have met 500 parents. Like I told, now I know, oh, it is like this, and what solutions I have given has worked. Okay, that is a proven already. People have tried and it has given them results. So come to such experts. If not me, no worries. Go to anyone you have confidence on, whom you resonate with, who will on whom you have the confidence, so that at the right time, you know, this child after 16, it's very difficult, Nivedita. Because by then you started that question also, that from young age we have to discipline. If it's not being on the proper path up to 15, 16 years, it's very difficult. It is possible with a more intense, you know, mentoring or coaching, counseling. This child can be, transformed, but it's difficult at that age. So better seek advice at the right age, right time. Don't take all the burden on your shoulders. Seek help. Okay, that's it. That's my final advice.
Very nice. It was awesome talking to you. We had a very deep conversation and you've shared so much about your life, which was truly inspiring, how you raised your kid and made him to a level of postgraduate, even though he was dyslexic. And you've shared a lot of tips for the moms as to how to raise kids being dyslexic and normal kids. To normal kids, you have mentioned about sitting with them and spending time and giving them the choices, appreciating them a lot, and then giving them the responsibility at a very young age, catch them right. Yes. Then the sandwich technique and how to spend time with your kids by engaging them in art therapy or by playing games or by reading books, all this. So it was wonderful talking to you, Veena. I'm so glad that you came to my show and shared all these tips for the moms and for the people who do not even know whether their kid is dyslexic.
It was a great exchange of ideas, and I hope parents listen to this and get the help, get the required help. And I have to mention, Nivedita, questions were very simple and straightforward, but very comprehensive. You covered everything. Lot of parents' questions will be answered with this. I'm so glad I came here and spoke to you, and through you, I'm reaching the parents. So connect with me at connect@veenabk.com. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Nivedita. Thanks everyone for listening to this podcast.
Thank you so much, Veena. Yes, and for those who would like to connect to her, you can connect to her through her FB ID and Instagram ID, which will be actually shared in the description below. And thank you so much, guys, for your time and listening to this episode. I'm sure it would have added a lot of value to your life and also given you clarity of how you should live your passion with a purpose. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please do subscribe to my podcast and share it with your family, friends and colleagues, and give it a 5-star rating. And please don't forget to share your comments on what you think about this episode. You can connect to me on Instagram at Power of Passion. And I will catch you next week on another inspiring episode of Power of Passion. Until then, stay safe and most importantly, do what you love. Thank you.